Before we begin our regular agenda, first and foremost, I wanted to point out that this Thursday, 2 days from now, will be March 3rd, 2011, which will mark the date. Yes, we're looking back at the flag, at our town flag here. 100 years since that day, when our town was first organized as a municipal corporation. It's going to be our centennial, and we're going to have a centennial celebration at the Century Center at 7:30 on Thursday night. And I would love for each and every one of you people to come and join us there, especially if there's any way you can walk or ride a bus or a bike to get there, because I think the parking will be severely limited. But it's going to be 7:30. We're going to have a great time. There will be cupcakes.
And we will ring the bell 100 times.
We're going to ring the bell 100 times. And if you show up at 7:15 and there are not more than 100 of you, then you will have a chance to ring one of the rings of the bell. So come on out. 7:30 is the event itself. The bell ringing is going to begin at 7:15. And we are very sorry for all little babies that live within a mile or so and whose bedtime may be around 7:15. There'll be a day they won't forget, or at least their mother won't forget. All right. Next, I have a proclamation that I'm going to go up to the podium to read. Is there someone from the Red Cross here? Maybe not. All right. Well, I'm going to read it from over here anyway. Whereas each March we formally recognize the American Red Cross and its essential humanitarian role in Carrboro and around the world, and whereas every day Red Cross volunteers and employees stand ready to provide essential services in this community to help those affected by everything from house and apartment fires to hurricanes, ice storms, and other natural and human-caused disasters. Whereas for 94 years, the people of Carrboro and Orange County have relied on the Red Cross to provide disaster relief, water safety, and first aid, CPR, and AED training, whatever AED training may be. Whereas this past year, nearly 3,000 people were trained to save lives through the American Red Cross in Orange County alone. And whereas the Orange County Red Cross also provided emergency services for 248 active duty Orange County servicemen and servicewomen throughout the world and their families back here in North Carolina. And whereas the Red Cross in Orange County also serves as the bridge between thousands of generous Orange County blood donors and area hospital patients desperately in need of the gift of life. And whereas each year, the Orange County Red Cross assists in the collection of more than 7,000 units of life-saving blood capable of saving as many as 21,000 people. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Mark Chilton, Mayor of the Town of Carrboro, North Carolina, do hereby proclaim March 2011 as Red Cross Month in the Town of Carrboro. So, there. All right. Thank you. Okay. At this time, I believe there are some folks here who are who have been recently appointed to various committees and who are here to receive their charge from the town clerk. Town clerk, do you know who is here for that?
There's a list there.
There's a list. Well, there's a lot of lists. Right here.
There's a list paper. I have it with me.
Hold on a second. Oh, here we go. Oh, my gosh.
Yep. You have a good showing.
Wow.
It's that time.
Yeah. By the time we get to the Transportation Advisory Board, I may not have a voice.
All right, it is truly daunting. I'm wondering if we could call up both so that you can read each of these charges just once for each committee.
Yeah.
We'll call up Laura Korch and Steph Russ, excuse me, if you two would come up. And it's Korch, is that how you say it?
Korch.
Yeah, very cool. Come up and stand in front of the clerk there, and she is going to read you your charge.
And then if you agree to the terms, then you'll sign it again, and then you can introduce yourselves and meet the board. So nice to meet you both. I know we've emailed back and forth before. As an Arts Committee member, I will, one, recommend to the Board of Aldermen a policy for the selection of art to be displayed in or on public facilities. Two, coordinate arrangements to have artwork displayed on town property in conjunction with the staff of the Recreation and Parks Department. Three, work collaboratively with the community on projects related to the arts. Members of the Arts Committee may assist in community fundraising activities, but any funds received by the committee or by members acting in their official capacity must be accounted for, and all expenditures by the committee must be made in accordance with the provisions of the Local Government Budget and Fiscal Control Act. Such funds may be received and expended by the town only for purposes for which the town is statutorily authorized to expend public funds. Four, report to the board as requested and perform such additional duties as the board may request from time to time. Sound doable? Great. All right. Okay, Laura and Steph. And I only have one pen, so this may slow the process. Once you sign, then feel free to introduce yourself to the board.
Yeah, come on over down the line and shake hands. That's what we usually do. So.
We might want to get a supply of pens up there so as we find the move them.
Welcome. Your thank you for your right. service. Right. Right.
Right. I look forward to working with you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I look forward to working with you. Thank you.
All right. Our next two contestants are Brian Russell and Chris Stevenson.
This is the longest charge. You two get to receive the longest charge.
The longest charge. Longest charge sounds like a Western.
Thank you. As a member of the Economic Sustainability Commission, I will, one, evaluate commercial growth, development, and redevelopment to ensure projects correspond with the town's sustainability goals and the triple bottom line sustainability principles. Do no harm to the environment and protect natural resources. Adhere to the principles of social justice and equity in economic and community development efforts. Return strong stakeholder values. Two, promote the development and expansion of diverse job opportunities, providing for economic opportunity and mobility. Three, administer the revolving loan fund. Four, work closely with the town manager or his designee for dealing with sustainability issues. Five, make studies and recommend to the board plans, goals, and objectives related to the growth, development, and redevelopment of the town. Six, recommend to the board site-specific plans for the commercial development of various lots within the town, showing recommended types of development for these specific lots. Seven, recommend to the board plans for the improvement of access to and circulation within the town by motorists, including parking, public transportation users, bicyclists, and pedestrians. Eight, upon request of the Board of Adjustment or Board of Aldermen, make recommendations to the respective board on requests for special or conditional use permits or land use ordinance text or zoning map changes. Nine, perform any other duties assigned by the board. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
Cheers.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Welcome,
Brian. All right. Michael Rogers and John Colleen are joining the planning board.
Pulled a short straw.
As a planning board member, I will, one, make studies and recommend to the Carborough Board of Aldermen plans, goals, and objectives relating to the growth, development, and redevelopment of the town and the surrounding extraterritorial planning area. Two, develop and recommend to the Carborough Board of Aldermen policies, ordinances, administrative procedures, and other means for carrying out plans in a coordinated and efficient manner. Three, make recommendations to the Tarboro Board of Aldermen concerning proposed conditional use permits and proposed zoning map changes, as provided by sections 15-57 and 15-322 of the Carrboro Land Use Ordinance, or perform any other duties assigned by the Carrboro Board of Aldermen. Sound good? And y'all are very familiar with those sections of the code. Thank you. Welcome. Look forward to working with you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hey.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bruce Sinclair is joining the Environmental Advisory Board.
As a member of the Environmental Advisory Board, I will, 1, advise the Board of Aldermen on policies, ordinances, and administrative procedures regarding the environmental protection and the conservation of natural resources. The areas of review for the EAB include new development, solid waste, air quality, stormwater management, energy conservation, solar energy, groundwater, natural resources, and other areas. 2, suggest to developers ways to utilize energy-efficient design techniques such as daylighting, siding, solar exterior lights, and other solar energy techniques as they become economically viable. This input from the EAB is to come at the request of the Board of Aldermen or as part of a concept review procedure. 3, adopt a set of guiding principles or goals for the EAB and review these goals periodically to determine if they are being obtained. 4, take any other action authorized by the Board of Aldermen. All right. You can choose which pen to use. And you've got your own. There you go. And you can meet the board. Congratulations to the Board of Aldermen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, I tell you all that we're almost done, but we're not. Seth Maid and Erlene Bunch are Birch, are joining the Human Services Commission.
We're over the halfway point.
We are past the halfway point.
I think you guys have the shortest ones. As a Human Services Advisory Commission member, I will, 1, study all funding applications received by the town from non-departmental agencies and make recommendations to the Board of Aldermen on these funding requests. 2, perform such other duties as may be assigned from time to time by the Board of Aldermen.
There you go.
Shortest charge, but hardest charge.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks for coming
back.
Thank you. Thank you,
Naomi. Those are the folks who have to say no when nonprofits come ringing. Jamie Watts, Ginny Bell, and Jonah Garson are joining the Recreation and Parks Commission.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah, come on up.
Are you Jamie?
Yes.
Okay, great. As a Recreation and Parks Commission member, I will, 1, advise the Board of Aldermen and Town Administration concerning, A, the acquisition of real or personal property to be used for park or recreation purposes, and the maintenance and use of all town-owned, leased, or operated parks and recreational facilities, B, the operation of all recreational programs, and C, future needs for the acquisition of additional recreation facilities or the expansion of recreational programs and alternative means of acquiring such facilities or operating such programs. 2, report to the Board of Aldermen as requested by the Board and undertake such studies or perform such duties as the Board may request from time to time. What I can do is I can scan and email you.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Hey, welcome.
Welcome.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you so much.
All right. And thank you, Jerry.
All right. And now we're almost done. Kurt Stolka and Tara Curtis are joining the Transportation Advisory Board.
Mark, as people are coming up, I hope that the folks that have just gotten sworn in know that you're included on Thursday night for the advisory board dinner, I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll explain that further.
Yeah, So
all right.
As a Transportation Advisory Board member, I will, one, assist in the execution of studies, advise, and make recommendations to the Carrboro Board of Aldermen concerning all matters relating to the transportation within the town of Carrboro and the surrounding area, including but not limited to the need for the construction, operation, relocation, or improvement of streets, sidewalks, and bikeways, as well as the establishment and improvement of alternative methods of mass transportation. Two, report to the Carrboro Board of Aldermen as requested by the board and undertake such studies or perform such duties as the board may request from time to time. And three, take any other action authorized by the Carrboro Board of Aldermen.
Great.
Anything at all.
Thank you both.
Good to meet you.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you so much.
Welcome. Look forward to working with you.
Takes me back to high school. I feel like I just lost a soccer game.
We're one.
Well, that wouldn't remind
hands
me.
Hands on your
all right. Jackie alluded to, we're having for town volunteers, and including and especially advisory board members on Thursday night before our centennial at 6:30, we are having an appreciation dinner. So even those of you who have just joined and done nothing more than just suffered through this process, we would like you to come and meet some of the other folks you serve on and other folks who are involved in town government. So please come 6:30 on Thursday, and then you can stay, and then you'll be there right on the spot to participate in the bell ring, and you can stay. For Congressman Price is supposed to come.
Poet laureate written special.
I will be speaking quite an occasion. All right, Thursday night, 7:30. Okay, so now we are at last onto our agenda, I believe. Are there any people who are here to speak on a matter that is not on our printed agenda already? Good. Mr. Manager, the consent agenda.
Item one is approval of minutes of the previous meetings. Item two is a request for approval of a municipal agreement with the North Carolina Department of Transportation for design and construction of Phase 1B of the Bowling Creek Greenway. Item three, appointments to the Human Services Commission and Board of Adjustment. Item four, a request to issue permits for the annual 4-on-the-4th road race, the Carrboro 10K road race, and the Gallop and Gorge 8K road race. And five is a resolution canceling the March 8th, 2011 work session.
Move the item.
I need to pull number one.
And I would want to pull number two.
Okay, so we'll take that motion as 3, 4, and 5, Jackie.
Second. I had a question. The minutes for the legislative delegation, is that part of number one? Approving that tonight?
It is part of number one.
You know, I assumed it.
That's already been pulled. So
yeah. The
motion and second are for 3, 4, and 5. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, the matter passed unanimously. What was the question? What was the first question of the minutes?
Right. My first question of the minutes was actually, like Sammy said, it was for the meeting with the legislative delegation. So it was on February 21st. And it's the statement that says, Alderman Lavelle stated that federal HUD laws have been amended to include similar provisions. It should really say, federal HUD laws have been proposed to be amended this year to include similar provisions.
And what was the other?
I found out that the building codes that was passed by recently is held up for about 2 years. So I was hoping that we could, instead of saying adding on 15% to make it 30% for residential, seek a local bill that would have Carrboro have that standard.
Be the first to implement the 35.
That would be a new matter. We're talking about the
Yeah, I suppose technically that's not a correction of the minutes in that it's a correction of the substance. But
at the end?
Yeah, briefly. Yeah.
Sure. And then the other point, I just wanted to make sure that Lake Borough has gotten instruction from us for the use value taxation for urban gardens, just to make sure this is clear as something for him to pursue.
In terms of that we wanted to have some kind of draft legislation.
Submitted.
Should we talk about that at the end also?
Yeah, why don't we cover that at the end? Just that's fine.
Okay. Move the minutes.
Second.
All right. Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. Matter passed unanimously.
Item two.
Item two. Yes, I'm sorry.
On item two, I had two questions and a clarification. So let me go to the clarification first on the resolution. And this is the resolution requesting approval for the design and construction of Phase B of the Bowling Creek Greenway. In the first whereas, in each place that the conceptual master plan is referenced, it's the report, it's the draft master plan, it's a draft conceptual master plan or the conceptual master plan report that is being referenced. So I just wanted to clarify that that's in fact what that is, because the board has not, we've accepted elements of that report, but not the entire report.
So you wanted to say draft?
Yes.
Well,
Or say report. Oh,
I'm sorry. Can you restate the concern? Because we did.
Well, it's just by omission that it doesn't say that it's the draft.
But what is the report? I'm sorry, I wasn't paying enough attention.
The Greenway conceptual master plan. We accepted the report.
But I don't think it really is a draft. I mean, it is the plan is what the plan is. I mean, the consultant has finished the plan. So it's not really a draft.
Right, but on our end, we accepted the report, and we accepted elements of that report. And that was December 8th, 2009.
I mean, I guess what you're trying to get at is that phases 3 and 4, we weren't too specific about. But, I mean, this relates to phase 1 or something.
1B. The fourth whereas addresses what the board approved.
1A, 1B, and 2.
Right, and I just wanted to clarify that it's the report that we accepted.
I think Steve's right that that's already clarified in the fourth whereas.
I can accept that, I guess. The second point I wanted to make is that the the reference in the information is for the green route, and the fourth whereas stipulates phase 1B not extending south of Jolly Branch. And so do we need to specify the green route, or is that understood?
I think it's understood. Trish, do you feel like it needs to be more explicit?
The Greenways Commission's recommendation might provide some clarity on this question, which is, the commission recommended conceptually, I'm paraphrasing here, that the green route is the preferred route conceptually, with the caveat that you know, the exact alignment will be determined during the design phase.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm asking is, should the green route be specified in the resolution? Do you think it?
But we haven't approved the green route, have we?
We haven't taken any action on it.
You're right.
Sure.
That's what I mean. So it shouldn't be in the resolution.
But I also think, like, we don't, I mean, part of the point of what Jeff was just getting at is that the really detailed aspects of this are going to be in the engineer's hands to decide. I mean, the people who are actually designing and measuring the grading and so forth. So okay. I'm not sure it's necessary to be too much more specific than that. But I think as long as staff is clear that the bias was in the direction of the green, which if okay. it wasn't before, it certainly is now.
And while Jeff's up there, I have one last question. The map that accompanies the information, I just didn't recognize that there's the bottom dotted trail, the southernmost trail or route, I should say, that comes just beneath Sewell Elementary School. Is that a new one? Is that...
That was a conceptual kind of route that the consultant put in there to say, well, this is one possible way of connecting further east. But they didn't really elaborate too much in detail on that route. I think they kind of put it in there as a frame of reference for the potential ways to connect to the school area.
Well, I know, and that's something that UNC is not, that particular route is something UNC wasn't happy with. Okay. My questions have been answered.
Move the action.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the matter passes unanimously. All right, so that puts us on item D1, proposed amendment to the Water and Sewer Management Planning and Boundary Agreement. Mr. Manager.
The purpose of this item is to provide the board with a resolution authorizing changes as requested by Owassa, Orange County, and Hillsborough to clarify the Water and Sewer Management Planning and Boundary Agreement. And I believe the chair of Owassa is here for a presentation.
Steve, can I make one clarification? I spoke to the chair of the county commissioners this afternoon because I wanted to make sure I was clear about what they were asking. And if you read her letter carefully, what you'll find is that they are not asking us they're not recommending any change because they haven't made any action themselves yet. But what they're asking that is that if we do take action, that we include the county in any resolution we pass. So I think that's important, mm-hmm. important distinction.
Thanks.
Is she going to put that in a letter? No, seriously. Because, I mean, well, let's let them go and then I'll get to what my question is, my concern is. And, it's not a problem with you or her. I mean, so.
What?
I'll ask it later.
Okay, fine.
Good evening. Gordon Markline. I'm the chair of the Owassa board. Thanks for having us here tonight. We're here to ask you to approve a resolution requesting clarification in the Water and Sewer Management Plan and Boundary Group Agreement that we'll refer to here for and out as WASAMBA. Tonight, we're joined by Ed Kerwin, who's the Executive Director of Owassa, Ed Holland, who's the Planning Director, as well as two of the Carborough appointees, Braxton Touche, who also serves as Secretary of the Board, and Will Stout. This is an extremely important issue for Owassa and the customers we serve, and that's why we're here today. Of course, okay. The 2001 agreement, WASAMBA agreement, requires that all the signatories, which includes Chapel Hill, Carborough, Orange County, Hillsborough, and Owassa, approve any changes to the document. The Owassa board would like to clarify the language in the WASAMBA so that it cannot be interpreted as preventing Owassa from using its Jordan Lake allocation, which is a 5 million gallon per day allocation, either under emergency or non-emergency conditions. Simply put, OWASIS Lake Jordan 5 million gallon per day allocation has historically been incorporated into our long-range planning, and we believe that with the current plans for the state to reallocate Jordan Lake access, we stand the chance of losing our allocation. The full board believes this is simply not an option and that we cannot afford to lose our 5 million gallon per day allocation. On December 1st, I forwarded a letter to all the local governments requesting approval of OWASIS, a request to clarify the agreement. Since that time, there's been quite a bit of activity. The Hillsborough Town Board adopted the resolution approving the change. Last night, Chapel Hill Town Council adopted the resolution. The Orange County Commissioners discussed the issue on January the 20th and are scheduled to take it up again on March the 15th. And tonight, we're here to discuss the proposed Wassama boundary with you. Additionally, our resolution has the full backing of the staffs of Carrboro, Chapel Hill, Hillsborough, and Orange County. The resolution has the full backing of the Chamber of Commerce, as well as UNC Chancellor Holdenthorpe. Just a quick reminder and refresher of our water supply and what all is included in it. Obviously, we started out with University Lake, the oldest and original part of our supply. We then included Cane Creek Reservoir. We're in the process of the stone quarry, which should come online sometime in 2035. And we have a 5 million gallon per day allotment, our allocation from Jordan Lake. Those four key elements go into our planning for both our current and long range planning for the OWASA, for the OWASA water supply. Our long-range water supply plan was adopted by the full board in April of last year. It's summarized in these key points: that University Lake, Cane Creek, and the Quarry Reservoir can meet expected needs under most but not all circumstances for the next 50 years, that we will face an increasing risk of water supply shortages, especially between now and the time the expanded Quarry Reservoir is online, and that recent gains in water use efficiency and the university's use of reclaimed water must be sustained, and we must secure the permanent ability to cost-effectively access OWASA's Jordan Lake allocation to reliably meet our community's needs. The OWASA addressed this board of aldermen on November 11, 2009, and again on January 19, 2010, regarding our plan. A key element of the plan also is listed here, which basically says that we would work cooperatively with all the elected bodies in moving forward to make any changes. So again, that the spirit of that within the long-range plan is why we're here. We all believe, the staff and the full board, I believe it makes sense to maintain permanent access to Jordan Lake. We think this is prudent not only to provide an insurance policy for future beyond our current planning horizon, but also because our current supply system will be most at risk between now and the time the expanded Quarry Reservoir comes online in approximately 25 years. So again, I want to reiterate that we see this is not only within our current planning horizon, but also our long-term planning horizon outside of the scope of what we're currently planning for. So why the need for Jordan Lake? There are several reasons why we need to maintain our 5 million gallon per day allocation. Jordan Lake is a highly reliable water supply within a significantly larger drainage area, thus providing more consistent and dependable water supply. For example, as of today, OWASA's current supply within Cane Creek and University Lake is approximately 70% full, while the Jordan Lake water supply pool is at 100%. An even better example is the drought of 2007-2008, when OWASA supply reached a low of 38.8% on February 12, 2008. On that same date, the Jordan Lake water supply pool was at 100% capacity. Couple this with the fact that OWASA has made significant strides in water conservation through education and outreach in the reclaimed water system, reducing on average our annual daily average from over 10 million gallons per day in the early 2000s to today a 6.2 to 6.3 million gallon per average. All that during a time when our area saw significant growth. So we have drastically reduced our overall average daily supply. We saw a surge in development activity and growth within our community. And within that, those conservation efforts, the reclaimed water efforts, we were able to see a decrease in water usage. Imagine if we had not had those conservation efforts in effect, what our lake level potentially could have been and our situation could have been. With the uncertainty of the size brought on by the size of our watershed, access to Jordan Lake is essential to Owasso's ability to provide highly reliable and cost-effective water supply for our customers, both today and in the future. Please remember that you and Chapel Hill and Orange County are the ones who direct growth. Owasso does not direct growth. We provide water and sewer, but we are not the mechanisms for controlling growth. Our responsibility is supplying water and sewer needs to those areas where, as well as the university, where you and Chapel Hill and Orange County control and direct growth. So the key actions that we're requesting. One is to clarify the water and sewer management planning and boundary agreement, to retain our lake allocation from a level 2, which is a future allocation, to a level 1, which is current. And out of all the entities that have allocations to Jordan, there are only 3, one of which us and Hillsborough are 2 of those 3, that have retained future allocations, meaning that we currently do not tap into our allocation. And then we want to work cooperatively with our neighboring utilities to develop and implement necessary actions to secure our permanent cost-effective access to Jordan Lake. As many of you know, we currently have interconnections with the city of Durham, and Durham has interconnections with the town of Cary that provide the existing infrastructure needed for Owasso to gain access to our Jordan Lake allocation. We have been now, and we will continue to play an active role in the Jordan Lake Partnership, which was established from all the entities that have allocation rights into Lake Jordan. This includes Orange County, Hillsborough, Durham, and Cary. We're working with those and the others to develop a regional water supply plan. In the coming months, we will be submitting an application request to the NC Division of Water Resources and Environmental Management, or the EMC, to retain our current 5 million per day gallon allocation, as well as to convert it from a level 2 allocation to a level 1 allocation. Assuming that we're able to retain our allocation and convert to a level 1, our next step will be to enter into agreements with our local partners to ensure that we have that unconstrained access. I appreciate your time that you've given us, and I know myself, Ed Kerwin, Ed Holland, Braxton, and William are happy to answer any questions that y'all have about our request.
Yeah, I have a question for the board.
Go ahead.
Did you say, I want to make sure I understood you correctly, did you say that Carborough staff wholeheartedly supports this?
Yes.
Okay, because that surprises me that a policy matter like this, that our staff would take that kind of position. Steve, do you?
I would state it differently. Trish and I discussed this, and I think where we are is on the agenda abstract, where we pointed out where there are consistencies with existing policies, but we've not come out and wholeheartedly endorsed this.
Okay, thank
is
you.
That accurate, Trish?
Okay.
You
can have a seat. We'll let you have got some questions. I know there's some discussion that the board wishes to have. I'd be happy to start.
Yeah.
And I defer to anybody else.
I'll start too, but why don't you take a turn? Starting.
You start first.
You know, here's my concern. Well, first of all, I'm a little unclear about whether this this whole discussion has any, our discussion of this or our potential decision here has any impact on Hillsborough's water supply or Orange County's Orange Water System, whatever it's called, supply issues. And I don't really have, is there something we need to do to approve to let them move forward with what they're about and what they're seeking to do, that's fine. And I don't have a problem with that. But I do have a problem with the underlying assumptions behind this request from Owasso. And I want to start out by being really clear that this is one of those situations where absolutely everybody in the room is trying to do the best thing for our community. Absolutely everyone here is trying to do the best thing for our community. and I understand that. But trying to do the best thing for my community has led me to some very different conclusions from what some of the in particular the OWASA staff and OWASA board members have concluded. And I respect their professional opinions, I appreciate their perspective, but I really disagree. I think what the evidence that was just laid out before you clearly shows is that our community is capable of living with the water supply that we have now. That the water supply we have now is very substantial, is scheduled to grow significantly in 2035, and that water conservation efforts have proved to be more effective than I think they've really proved to be more effective than anybody would have guessed 10 years ago, than the most wild-eyed optimists would have believed 10 years ago. We've been more successful than that, and that there we have not even exhausted the water conservation and water efficiency technologies and policies and procedures that even possibly could be implemented within our community. When I first moved here in 1988, our community was still at that time reeling and dealing with a very difficult decision that our whole county had to make surrounding the creation of the Cane Creek Reservoir. The purpose of the reservoir was to provide the absolute highest quality water that could be had for the people of Chapel Hill and Carborough and some of the surrounding area. It came at the expense of, to some degree, of the rights of landowners in the area. There were people who were forced to sell their land, land that had been in their family for hundreds of years. That wasn't an easy decision for anybody to arrive at, but the reality is that our OWASA board and the Chapel Hill Town Council and this board and the Board of County Commissioners for Orange County ultimately recognized that it was worth it. That as much of a burden as we were putting on a relatively few people who lived in the Cane Creek watershed, that burden was worth it to ensure that Chapel Hill and Carborough would have for far distant times into the future the absolutely most pristine sort of water we could have. They did that for us. They made really tough decisions. And I appreciate that. And I value that. I think the evidence is that we don't need Jordan Lake water. I understand some people would feel more comfortable knowing that it would be possible to get Jordan Lake water in the future. But here's the thing. The quality of the water that goes into Jordan Lake is considerably lower. The water in Jordan Lake washes off the streets of Burlington. It washes off the streets of Greensboro and Graham and Pittsboro and any of several dozen other cities and towns in its upper watershed. It includes the areas that it washes through include numerous EPA-identified Superfund sites. It includes all sorts of underground storage tanks that leak contaminants into the water table. It includes parking lots from here to Wake Forest University, practically. It includes a lot of area, and it includes a lot of sources of pollution. And those pollutants are picked up by rainwater that washes across the streets, filters through the ground, and where those pollutants ultimately end up is in Jordan Lake. Now, these guys can tell you and show you the numbers that suggest that the water in Jordan Lake is not necessarily that bad. It's not bad compared with the kind of water that most of the United States drinks. It's not bad compared with
the water that most of North Carolina drinks. But here's the thing. We don't know in the long run what the quality of water in Jordan Lake will be. Jordan Lake is not finished being polluted by the sources of pollution that lie upstream of it. Jordan Lake's watershed will continue to be built out. The failure of the state government to adopt strict standards to protect Jordan Lake over the last several years was driven primarily by one thing, and that was the desire of home builders and realtors to build the hell out of Greensboro, Burlington, and all points upstream from Jordan Lake. They stopped those rules from going in the way that they had been recommended by scientists. And the reason they did it is because they do not care about the quality of the water that comes out of Jordan Lake. What I'm saying is, we don't have to go to Jordan Lake, we don't need Jordan Lake, and we really shouldn't want Jordan Lake. And I am not going to support going to Jordan Lake. I realize that there's the possibility of emergencies in the future. There's the possibilities of droughts that are beyond anything we've yet experienced. And yet we have in place some agreements and a set of policies that address those questions that will allow us to buy water if need be from our neighbors in Durham or potentially other jurisdictions if that's what it really comes down to. But for me, except in those circumstances, I don't want to drink Jordan Lake.
Can I follow through on that? The very first vote I ever made was to protect the University Lake watershed. As Mark said, that put the community through incredible turmoil. To hear that Owassa doesn't set planning does not mean that Owassa has not been an incredibly significant player in the planning that has gone on in Orange County. Indeed, most of the big planning issues that we have faced have involved Owassa. The community has gone through incredible sacrifice, both of in terms of growth. We have redesigned our processes, our zoning, to meet the needs of the watershed. We have spent millions and millions of dollars on land. I think most people aren't aware of the vast amounts of land that Owassa owns to keep our water supply safe. We never use our lakes or reservoirs for recreation. You're not even allowed to walk around them because we want to keep them pristine. The sacrifices that this community has made to keep our water pristine have been immense, both in terms of quality of life, as in recreation, in terms of dollars, and in terms of the political turmoil that we have gone through in order to get here. 12 years ago, I was on a committee for 120 hours. Ed was there, and Ed had just gotten here. And it was 120 hours in order to secure the quarry to use as backup water. Throughout that process, we heard over and over and over again that one of the reasons that we needed the quarry was so we would never have to depend on Lake Jordan. So we've over and over and over made many sacrifices as a community in order to maintain that water supply. Lake Jordan, as one of our constituents said to us today, people don't even want to swim in it. You're not only allowed to walk in it, you can boat in it, you can drink beer right next to it, you can do anything you want to Lake Jordan. And to say that that somehow is an acceptable substitute for what we have spent years and millions of dollars protecting, and Owassa does drive our zoning and planning. And if Owassa wants to continue being a major player in that in order to continue the zoning and planning, I think that saying, oh, it's okay to use Jordan Lake water would undermine the credibility of those arguments. So I very much agree with our mayor, who probably knows more about water protection than anybody I've ever known. He cut his political teeth on it. So probably know how I feel about that.
I'm not going to repeat what Mark and Jackie have said so eloquently, other than to say I agree 100% with their points, and I think the experience they both bring to this discussion going back over 20 years is very important. So I want to make just a few points different. One is Owassa, Gordon, when he was up there, reminded us that Owassa doesn't set land use planning, and of course that's correct. But the fact of the matter is that if what Owassa is telling us is that our current land use planning threatens the sustainability of our locally sustained water supply, then we should find out where our limits are and whether it's a limit in growth in particular or in the staging of growth between now and the quarry comes online. We should know what those implications are and, if need be, to sit down with Chapel Hill and hammer out a plan of how much growth we would allow over the next 20 years between the two communities so as to get mm-hmm. through that period before the quarry comes on without any of the concerns that Gordon was raising. I do want to mention also, this is very tangential to our own deliberations, but I did talk to several of the Chapel Hill Council members, and apparently this item came up very late last night after a long and contentious meeting, and there's some feeling that it was not properly deliberated there, and that it may be brought back up again in Chapel Hill as well, and hopefully the positions we're taking and the action we take tonight can help provide some to inform, let's say, the perspective in Chapel Hill. And finally, I'm looking at the resolution. Myself, what I would like to do this evening is take the text, the italicized text of the subsection on the second page, and I would like to approve that in respect to Hillsborough and Orange County, because I agree with Mark that it's not our place to tell other local governments what to do. It is our place to maintain our own goals in respect to Owassa. So I would strike Owassa from that language, but continue to include Hillsborough and Orange County would be my proposal or my motion.
I'll second that.
Sammy?
I'd like to thank all of y'all for expressing so well. Many of the concerns I share, I agree wholeheartedly with everything that's been said. There's not much for us to even go by considering the long-range plan and the costs that are shown there for pursuing raw water from Jordan Lake, where it shows $78 per 1,000 gallons, and then skipped over as a better alternative, the water shortage restrictions are $15 per 1,000 gallons. To me, that's very clearly a lot cheaper. So I'm just on the cost grounds, not to even mention the fact of the cost to cleaning polluted water, which we'd have to do for Jordan Lake. I know New York City did a study where they assessed the cost benefit analysis between cleaning dirty water or maintaining their watershed, and found it was a lot more cost effective to buy land and maintain their watershed. So that's another point that should be considered. So yeah, I'm in agreement with everyone.
What I was going to say was, whenever we talk about this, I sit in the room and listen to everyone else who's dealt with this for years and years and years, and I feel in some ways like I'm informed by the views of people at this table whose opinions I greatly respect, and so I'm kind of taking that all in. And in that light, I kind of wanted to ask, well, you know, what Joel had to say, because I know she's had some, you know, experience with Owassa.
You know, what I'm going to say is probably different from what everybody else said. I, like look at Jordan Lake as what it should be looked at, as an emergency way for us to, if it got so bad, I kind of disagree with the mayor on that time, if it got so bad and we needed it, we need to be able to get it. And I think when we talk about conservation and limiting water uses, it's nice to talk about it in the abstract, but we have yet, when the last big drought came in, we had a lot of people come in and say, we need to use this amount of water to maintain the landscaping on commercial buildings. And I don't think anybody on the OWASA board is saying that they want to use the water as the first line of defense, that is to replace it with University Lake or to replace it with Cane Creek or to replace it with the Corps. It is what it is. To me, it's an insurance policy, and it means that we control the method of intake and how we intake. And control is the most important thing in an area where it is a resource that people need to live. Now, if we're really going to be serious, as I've said before, people don't need to be watering their lawn. We don't need to say the commercial stuff looks the way it looks to water it if we're not going to provide some sort of insurance. And in fact, we do control zoning. We do it all the time when somebody files a permit for a CUP. We decide the size of subdivisions. We decide how they will look. We decide the density. We decide where they go. I was on the OWASA board 6.5 years. I was on this board when we barely passed to get the quarry. And I just think when you're talking about long-term infrastructure, you've got to plan and say to yourself, I don't know what 50 years is going to occur. Nobody 3 weeks ago could have said Hosni Mubarak was not going to be the president of Egypt until he dropped dead. He is still alive, and he is no longer the president of Egypt. So my point is, when we're talking about infrastructure, boring, dull, expensive infrastructure, you've got to make long-term plans. You've got to be able to say, I'm going to guess right. And in terms of control, I would rather be in control of my destiny than have to beg somebody when I really need it to get the water. And I think we mislead the public when we say that's going to be our first method of emergency, because it's not, and we know it's not. And y'all can vote any way you want to. History will bear you out one way or the other, alive or dead. But infrastructure requires long-term thinking. And if we're going to have a discussion with Chapel Hill, that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. But I will say this, and this is my next thing. When we're commenting about what other boards do, let us send us a memo so we all have the opportunity to hear what they said.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just, in response to something Joel said, I kind of wanted to ask someone from OWASA that question, that if we converted access from level 2 future to level 1 current, does that mean the spigot's turned on right away with Raleigh, Durham? Or does that mean it's a very, very last emergency type resort? Or what does that mean?
And before he answers that question, we need to understand, there's not a, we own the property and we pay for the allotment. But there's nothing infrastructure where we can pull the water out right now, unless we pull it out from Cary.
That's the short answer to the question. I'm Ed Holland, OWASA Planning Director. We have a level 2 allocation, which entitles, it basically reserves a portion of Jordan Lake for future use. The only way we can get Jordan Lake water right now, as Joel said, is through Durham and Cary. Cary gets their water from Jordan Lake. They treat it. They can send it to Durham, and we can get it from Durham. At this point, we can buy, you know, we have agreements in place where we can buy water for a short term from either of them. But if we needed water for an extended length of time during a severe drought, We need to be doing it out of our own allocation, and we can't do that with a level two allocation. So right now, for Cary to sell us water, they're basically selling us water through their own allocation. So in order for us to get water without bumping into Cary, without cutting into Cary's allocation, the level two needs to be converted to a level one without any other changes in infrastructure or anything else. Does that answer the question?
What does that mean? Does that mean a higher expenditure? Does that mean a higher level of use? I mean, what is
for we would have to pay money to the state to convert the level two to the level one. It would be a one-time fee that we paid to the state. But what we would expect is that if we were buying water from Cary over a longer period of time, it would be at a much cheaper rate if it were coming out of our allocation rather than if it was coming out of Cary's allocation. And there may be a time in the future, maybe in the not-too-distant future, where Cary says, no, we're not going to sell water out of our allocation because we need it, Cary.
Well, given that OWASA would be paying more to convert to this new level, does that mean that we might turn the spigot on sooner for economic kind of trade-off?
Not necessarily. We would buy water just before we got down to a stage one water shortage condition, as we've talked about before. We want to be able to turn that spigot on before going to a stage one water shortage. And we recognize and respect that you all disagreed with that as a matter of policy, but that's what the OWASA board adopted. So our plan would be to buy water before we had to go to a stage one water shortage restrictions.
And what's that percentage? What's the percentage stage one?
How low does the water have to get?
Right.
It depends on the time of
on
year.
Level.
I've got some pictures if you want to see
That's
the pictures.
Okay.
But at this time of the year, it would be down around, 35 or 40% before we went to stage one. As we get farther into the spring, it goes up to 45 or 50 or actually 70% in May. We need to be 70% full in May in order to avoid going to stage one. Okay.
Thanks,
Ed. You know, to me, bottom line, this is an issue that's very similar to the location and the rigidity of the urban services boundary around Chapel Hill and Carrboro. This is an issue that, in my mind, is directly related to our rural buffer. And the way that it's related is it's not that changing this will change our rural buffer, but that there are two factors that, as things presently stand, ultimately define what the limits to urban growth will be for the Chapel Hill-Carrboro area. There's two factors. One is the rural buffer constrains us physically in our outward growth. We cannot go out past
Eubanks
Road, basically, right. The other thing that sort of ultimately defines what the size of our community will be is our water supply. And I know that there are people who think that that's bad. I understand the Chamber of Commerce would say that they're 100% behind making this change. It's because they don't ever like to hear about the notion of a limit to growth. But here's the thing. We're all on one planet here. We're all on spaceship Earth. There is a limit to resources. There is a limit to the kind of growth that our planet can do. And there's a limit to the kind of growth that our planet ought to have. And there's a limit to the kind of growth and the extent of growth that our community, that Carrboro ought to have, that Chapel Hill ought to have. We don't want to be Manhattan. We don't want to be Atlanta. I'm not interested in following that path. I am interested in seeing our community continue to grow and to grow in a way that can take advantage of the water supply that we have, the water supply that we have under our control, that we're able to protect to provide outstanding high-quality water to people, and I want to see us grow in a way that will be commensurate with making sure that there's enough of that resource to go around. Will there ever be times when there are droughts, when that resource runs a little bit thin? Yes, there will be. That's okay. I'm okay with that. I think we should all be okay with that. I think we've proven that we are a community that can deal with that. That's what this gets down to for me.
I'd like to respond to that. When we talk about limiting growth, to me, in Southern Orange County, we're talking about we're going to limit what you can't pay for. We're going to allow large houses, which we haven't and have approved. I mean, if we're really going to say we want to limit growth and we want to be able to live, and even if there's a drought, we're going to have to live with it, let's be clear. We're talking about 24 square foot of living with drought. We're not talking about 1,000. We're not talking about 1,500. We're not even talking about 2,000. And if we're talking about the rural buffer, this we just extended the rural buffer 5 years ago for another 25 years. So unless you're going to stay on the board for 25 years, and I can honestly say that is not what I'm going to be doing in my 70s, I don't think that's going to happen. If you're talking about growth, another conversation we need to have among everybody who lives in Orange County, we need to have the type of growth that'll let my children live in Orange County, that they can actually buy in to live. So the cost of water, and it ain't even cheap now, but the cost of water, the cost of living, it's all interdependent, not just the rural buffer. Let's be clear, there's some people on the Orange County Commission Board that are talking about going into the rural buffer to put some things in it. So that conversation is not over. It is not stayed. We can agree or we agree to disagree because I'm ready to vote anyway. But let's not act like if we vote for this, it's going to impale the rural buffer, because that's a whole nother big conversation that people would have to have. If we're going to talk about the argument, the theory is you don't believe the statistics and you think we can live with a level of drought, and I disagree. But don't try to impale it with using the rural buffer as an excuse. Because if that was the case and the limit of growth, we'd do a better job of limiting the amount of resources we use right here.
That's a good idea.
One of the things that, again, we haven't talked about or isn't ever brought up is to what degree and how is our water consumption comparable to, I'm not talking about Africa, I'm talking about other industrial countries, and it looks like we're 20%, other industrial countries are 20 to 30% more efficient with their water use. So right there, just conservation, and we're not talking about a drought and, you know, really dire effects. We're talking about there's plenty of room as compared to other highly technical societies, you know, and what they can do. We haven't had that discussion. The other thing is we haven't had a comparison between, with all the implementation and all the work that OWASA has done, how we compare to other jurisdictions. To what degree and how are we efficient compared to other jurisdictions that will be pulling out of Jordan Lake? And those are factors that we have to take into account. If there's going to be a Jordan Lake agreement, is that being discussed? To what degree is OWASA, and because of how far we've gone, for that reason, that's a good argument for maintaining our allocation. This is sounding to me like a response to something without having had the conversations of all these other underlying factors. We're responding to the possibility of losing our allocation without really having put on the table how far we've gone and where other jurisdictions are, comparing to what degree they're willing to develop compared to our restrictions in development. And I think there's a long ways to go before we ever come to considering going along with this.
I think it's almost time to vote.
Okay, can I make one last comment? And then, Joel, you may answer me.
Joel, you can make a second to last comment. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll make this. Anyway, I just want to say, and this is kind of getting on Mark's last point, in a sense that, you know, you could go to Walmart and you could buy your kid a toy made in China, because that's what you can afford. And you'll be unhappy some months later when you discover that there's lead paint in that toy or some other kind of poison or what else was it, the dog food or whatever. And you can go to Jordan Lake and get water that is full of all the kind of pollutants Mark was describing that we try to protect from our own water supply. And both of those, as Joel points out, are questions of affordability. But tying that back to Mark's point, we live under an economic system that creates affordability by destroying the planet and by destroying human communities as well. And in doing that, it makes things affordable, seemingly affordable for us, but yet at a vast cost to future generations, a cost that we don't calculate when we're paying our water bill today or our property tax bill today or whatever that might be. So I think for Carrboro to be a town that values stewardship and that understands what that to live sustainably with the earth is something more serious than just a catchphrase, you know, I think that this is a very important vote for us, and I'm glad we're having this discussion.
Well, I do actually want to say stuff.
Absolutely.
Now, and let me just say this. I understand stewardship, but we live in the real world. And I'll say it again. We say we value sustainability. But the way we go about valuing sustainability is to price everybody out. Because we have the hard, cold fact. And so there's got to be another way other than the way we've been doing it. And to me, it's sort of a facetious argument to say, that may be the only toy I can afford for my child. And there are many of people who live in Orange County, that is the only toy they can afford for their children. And they want their children to at least play with a little bit of toy.
They and might I, not if they know it's poison.
Well, they,
I hope they don't.
I hope, you know. And if it is poisonous, but not everything in Walmart is poisonous, and people have gone in it to buy certain things, so we are not to act like we ain't never been in Walmart. And second of all, if you're talking about sustainability, who is it sustaining? I mean, the people who were really here before all of us came were really sustaining America. If you're going to make sort of that global argument, the Native Americans were the first sustainers and the first ecologists. They didn't overuse where they lived. They ate everything they could eat of what they killed. And sometimes I think it's a facetious argument when we get up here and say we're making it more sustainable. I think we make it more sustainable to the people who can afford the cost of sustainability in the short term and the long term. So I'm glad we had this discussion, but we need to be real about what we mean by sustainability.
As for sustainability and cost, I mean, again, looking at the numbers that Owasa put out in the long-term plan, understanding the mandatory water shortage restrictions led us to reduce our consumption so that we don't have to increase capacity, so that we don't have to go to the next best, not best option, which is, let's see, would lead us to pay $78 per 1,000 gallons. That's a higher cost, I mean, on those grounds. So I understand what Owasa is saying, that it appears like purchasing water from neighboring systems is cheaper, but what they're not taking into account is our essential or effective increase in capacity by having undergone the change in our habits through a water shortage restriction. And so it's a false assumption to say that we are saving money, because it's not being taken into account what we're foregoing and a need to expand our capacity. So there are two ways of doing it. You either reduce your demand or you increase your supply. And so what we're saying is we need to decrease our demand so that we can afford it. So we're talking about both affordability and sustainability.
We're at the vote.
All those in favor of Dan's motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Can I just add, the first where I says source for Carterboro?
No, there's no whereases in my motion. The only thing in my motion is,
whereases were removed.
Is that we're going to modify this.
All those.
To exclude Alessa.
Yeah, as written except for.
All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed.
Nay.
Matter passes 6-1. All right. I suspect some future discussion with our friends over in Chapel Hill will probably be forthcoming.
Let me leave you with this. Running out of water is not an option.
I agree.
It's got to come from somewhere.
And at some time.
And, as a matter of fact, I agree with Joel, is that everybody sitting around that board may be able to afford the price of water when it goes up. But the people I represent can't do that.
I can't.
So a lot of people in this community cannot do that. And we've always had this option, and I think we should keep it. So I would just like for y'all to consider that. It's not our first line of defense.
Mark, if we're going to consider more input on this, we should have people at the podium. Or
thank you.
May I address as well?
I don't think that's in order. I'm sorry.
I understand what you mean.
That's coming out, Corbin.
The next item on our agenda is Sammy had, I think, two different points from the discussion.
And I have two very brief items.
Okay.
And I have one.
So, like I was mentioning earlier, it turns out that the building codes will not be done. There's a holdup in the General Assembly. So what I was hoping we could do instead is have a local bill that would take on what was intended to be passed by the General Assembly as a local bill for Carterboro. And so if we could instruct our lawyer to do that.
Do we have enough time? Because I know there's a deadline. Will we be within the deadline? That's just my question.
We had a little sidebar going here. But so is the issue the bill, the general legislation about the 10-acre, lowering the 10 acres, is that what you're talking about, or are you talking about the other one?
You're talking about the.
I'm talking about the building code one.
The building code one, that will be local bill, and the deadline, I think, is March 24th, is what we found. So we have time to get something over there if I knew what it was that you were wanting to get. And if you endorse what Sammy's saying, Sammy, I guess, is going to shoot me an email that tells me what I need to have to draft it.
I think that's what we would like. Is that right?
That's fine.
Okay, so Sammy, if you'll share the pertinent information with the attorney on that. Okay.
Do we need a motion on that?
I think I heard unanimous consent there.
Okay.
The other one was the use value taxation, and so if we could also pursue that.
I don't support that, without more information and more discussion.
Okay. Well, the good thing is that this one doesn't have as soon of a deadline. Is that correct?
It's not local, so but I don't know what the
there is some
deadline, but it's not
some
as
deadline because they all have deadlines.
Okay, but you're saying it's probably later.
Yeah, I can find out what it is. I just don't know what it is.
Okay. Can we get more information on what the implications of those are?
Sure.
Because it's kind of squishy for me.
All right. That. And if y'all have specific questions, please let me know.
Well, and also to know, Representative Facey said a couple of years ago what he thought was when it went down to 10, so it might be just informative to know when the most recent one took place.
Okay.
All right, so Sammy, maybe you could plan on bringing. When do we have a business meeting again?
April 5th.
That might be too late.
I think it's.
We don't have a March 15th business meeting.
But we just voted to.
No, it was.
I'm sorry. I'm getting jumping ahead. Yes, you're right. I apologize. March 15th.
We have a business meeting, March 15th. So why don't we plan on looking at a little more specific version of the proposal on March 15th, if that works.
Of the the use value.
Because you might not have unanimous consent on support for that, Sammy.
You may want to email us a little more information.
Sure. Sure. Thanks.
Okay.
Let me just say what my concern is, is that I don't think we really understand what the impact of this would be on properties within Carborough. You know, I think as a statewide bill, you know, that might make sense. But if we're talking a local bill for Carborough.
I don't think you can have just a local tax use bill. I think it has to be.
No, it would have to be a statewide.
Okay.
Right.
So I want to understand why we support it. You know, what it is that we're looking for as a goal for this for us.
Okay. All right.
So those were the 2 points from Sammy. Did you have a question specifically?
It's not about this.
Okay. Well, I've got a lineup going. Dan.
Okay. One of two. I'd like to move that we ask staff for some comments on the Daniel Amoni proposal in regard to building overhangs that we got an email today. Mm-hmm.
Second. Okay, so that's referring that matter to the staff for reaction.
Could somebody send us that?
Yes.
Yeah, I can give it to you. I got a copy. I guess it's Trish got it.
Did she? Okay.
I'll have another matter.
All right.
I have one.
Well, you all got to wait. Dan is Dan, Joel, Randy, and then back to.
Okay. I would also like to move that we schedule an agenda item to hear more about the home trust proposal to serve households up to 115% of the AMI.
I think it's been scheduled, right?
Yeah,
been scheduled.
Okay. Well, we haven't scheduled it, but I did tell Rob that we were planning to schedule them.
We don't need to vote on it.
We tentatively talked about the March 15th meeting, if that works.
If the motion's out there and seconded, let's just vote on it.
Okay. I'll second.
Aye. Right. Seconded. Aye. All those in favor signify saying aye. All
aye.
Right. Matter of fact, unanimously. All right. So he will definitely bring that to us at some point. Joel.
First of all, I thank staff for giving me the Baldwin Park Community Garden thing.
Update.
But I was looking, and let me suggest that I think there should be more outreach other than just knocking on somebody's door for the very first time to discuss it. And sort of my suggestion would be if this Community Garden Steering Committee has been having regular meetings, I think it would be more appropriate to invite people to the meeting. And that's just me.
Uh-huh.
And I also think it would be appropriate to whatever mailing they were going to drop off at somebody's house, also maybe to send a packet of information to the area churches that are in those neighborhoods. And I'm going to specifically list them because I think sometimes the method of the way that we tell people things, not everybody's going to email somebody, and I'm glad they have the telephone number, but I think it would be helpful to send it to the neighborhood churches, and then because we post public announcements from Chapel Hill, from Carborough, from Orange County, at least at my church, and I know they do it at First Baptist, and I know they do it at St. Joe's, and there's another AME Zion church that I cannot think of the name of, but I will email staff before I go to bed tonight for them to do it, and also to put it up in another place where people always meet, that would be the barbershop, Midway. So those are my suggestions, because I'm going to tell all of you, if it's not sufficient outreach, I'm going to be one of the lone people opposing the community garden thing. And I like gardens, and I garden myself. But this is city property. It should be open to everybody, and it should not be cliquish.
Thanks, Joel.
So I'll be asking for another follow-up in about 2 weeks. So that's to warn people now. And I'll be looking for some information on March 15th.
Do you have feelings about this?
No, not really. But I mean, it's just a little letter people were going to plan. Because it's time to put some seeds.
They need to be doing.
They need to be doing. So, you know, and they could be helpful in participating in, because gardeners share plants all the time.
Randy.
Okay, two items. One, I wanted to check in with our town clerk about the UDO draft. Do we need to actually vote on the final language? Because last night's meeting, it was reported as a draft.
You're right. Last night was draft, and I just sent Donna Baker, the clerk, during the meeting tonight, the approved copy that you guys approved when the minutes were approved. So she has the word copy. I'll send an official copy by mail tomorrow.
Okay. That's the update on that. And then I had one other item if we're at the end. I didn't know whether or not we all were going to be wearing our Carver shirts on Thursday.
Oh, that means I'm
since
to
this
wash
is the only official uniform we may have, so
I'm going to have to wash it.
But I'll be coming from school, straight from school.
Leave it in the car. No, I'm just serious. If we're going to take, you know, like a group shot or something, do we want?
I don't want to wear that.
No.
Okay. I'm dressing
well,
up.
I'm just throwing it out there because they're great Carbro shirts. So
they are.
I will bring mine
I'll
with me.
I'll wear mine on Carbro Day. How about that?
Okay. Yeah, we'll wear them on Carbro.
All right, Carbro, that's absolutely fine.
Because we need to be spiffy.
We need to be spiffy.
It's a birthday
but
party.
I am glad you brought it up.
And look very 2011.
Whatever that is. Sammy, last
100 years later.
I don't know where what we've actually done with solar on town property, but I've found out that you know there are a lot of tax benefits both from the state and federal government that unfortunately a municipality or nonprofit wouldn't be able to benefit from, and there are ways in which to benefit from those through a third party who would actually implement and receive those tax benefits, but in return provide a lower rate to the town. And so one of their requirements is to receive a month's worth of utility bills. And so I was hoping we might be able to, or was wondering what further information the board would need for us to pursue something like that.
I would need to have more information about how exactly it would work and how we would select the particular person who would get the benefit.
Right.
Because I have some concerns about public money used for private benefits.
Right.
And we had, just for some of you know, I mean, we have pursued this before. Duke Energy had some pilot projects a year or two ago that Randy worked on, James Harris and I worked on. We didn't have a site that that they felt like met their standards, and so we lost out. We looked at MLK Park. We looked at Town Commons, and we looked on the roof of the fire station, and the fire station actually got, I guess, sort of round two. They came out and measured and spent some time here, but then somebody else got selected.
And actually, Sammy, I spoke to Randy Dodd and this Nora and James from Chapel Hill on Saturday about that, and I think they're going to look into what they could possibly bring back.
Right. Okay, good. So, I mean, maybe we could just refer them to, or I'll just email them and have them look into that. So you're saying they're going to come to us and share what our options are?
Yeah, on two fronts. One, in terms of that the second round from Duke, but also in terms of creating this other entity. So I think they were going to just kind of nose around and see what was possible under the new legislation.
What I found out is that this company, what they do is, I mean, they'll, with 1 month's worth of power bills, assess whether they could do anything for the town. So, I mean, it's not a contract with them. It's just a means through which to get feedback. Well, and then if we qualify, then they'd pursue it a little further, and it would be more like a two-year process.
Well, let me suggest this. Can you and Steve put your heads together and see whether there is meaningful new opportunity to be explored here or not, because
sure.
I think that really would probably be the most helpful thing. And then if there is, then one or both of you can let us know what that opportunity looks like.
Okay, great.
Jackie?
I just have a question. There's a copy of a letter at our places sent by the folks who are looking to redevelop the Greenspur Street property. And it says that it was sent to adjacent property owners and renters. I'm taking that literally. Do you know who it was sent to? Because it says adjacent, and adjacent's not very far.
It's the notice about, it's basically what's here is a copy of the notice about the community meeting.
I don't,
right. So,
Trish, do you know? Because I just saw it tonight, so I don't know.
Because he says adjacent, and you know, I'm sure Mac Fitch already knows about it. So I'm hoping that that's the 1,000-foot thing and not just...
Do they have an application in yet?
No, they haven't.
So they're not, they can do whatever they want.
And they're not bound to do anything.
Right, they're not bound to do anything, but, I mean, if it's just adjacent...
Yes, could you let us know what that notification list
actually
looks like, so we'll know.
And who it went to.
I understand the community meeting that happens. Okay. For God's sakes, is there a motion to adjourn?
So.
Second.
See you Thursday.
Make for what?
Rain again?